Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. President Donald Trump today said he was right to temporarily ban people from seven Muslim-majority countries from entering the United States. Mr. Trump tweeted, quote, "There are a lot of bad dudes out there. If the ban were announced with a one-week notice, the bad would rush into our country during that week," end quote. Friday's executive order resulted in a second straight weekend of protest against the country, against the president and his policies.
Let them in.
Susan Reed is with us now. She's managing attorney at the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center. Susan, when that order first came down Friday, we all know there was a lot of confusion, green card holders not being allowed to enter, and then the White House kind of walked that back over the weekend saying, oh, well, now it's a case-by-case basis. But what can you tell us? What is the latest?
Well, the inclusion of green card holders was absolutely shocking and unprecedented, and of course provoked by no concrete incident in particular. This has felt like a reaction against an event that didn't happen with respect to any green card holder from any of the countries targeted. It was a chaotic weekend for communities in Michigan. Michigan certainly has residents in a variety of immigration statuses from all seven countries on the list, but really significant, an Iraqi community of very significant size here in Michigan, as well as a Yemeni community, significant Sudanese community in the Grand Rapids and Lansing areas. So it was very chaotic. I spent much of Saturday trying to develop legal education materials, warnings to people not to leave who might be innocently departing the U.S. The Department of Homeland Security did say and give quotes to the media on Saturday that green card holders were banned from returning home, but then reversed that position late yesterday in part. I should note that the administration statement from the Department of Homeland Security says that green card holders essentially will be allowed to return home to the U.S. absent significant derogatory information, and that's a quote. We have no idea what that means. We know that people's social media was being looked at. People were kind of being Googled in some border areas. So we really don't know what will be considered significant derogatory information by this administration, and so we are discouraging LPRs from the seven affected countries
and those are, of course,
at this time.
LPRs meaning legal permanent residents.
Correct. That's my immigration law jargon.
Yep.
When I say LPR, I mean green card holder.
Yes. What kinds of questions or pleas for help are you and the team at the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center fielding today?
You know, we are getting questions from people not from the affected countries about will their country be next. There's no real way to answer that. We don't know what to expect. So families planning travel or students, you know, looking at returning to visit family, wanting to know, am I at risk because I'm from a majority Muslim country of getting caught outside the U.S.? It's hard to answer those questions. Questions from U.S. citizens about how they will be impacted. Generally, we think U.S. citizens should not be impacted, but a lot of different things can happen at the border, and it's hard to know what's happening at the border. I myself accompanied someone, a Michigan physician who lives in a rural Michigan county from one of the affected countries who was visiting friends in Canada for the weekend and, you know, received the panicked information on Saturday that he would not be allowed to come home. Fortunately, by the time we were entering on Sunday afternoon, there did seem to be more clarity, and although he had a secondary inspection at the tunnel in Detroit, the staff was very professional, and our client was able to return to Michigan and performed several surgeries today for rural Michiganders who were counting on him. So, you know, those are the types of questions we're getting. It's just been a flood.
Susan, let's talk about legality. Is the president's order legal, and is this something the president can do unilaterally?
each of the two immigration-related executive orders that were issued yesterday are sort of a blend of actions the president may legally take and actions that are clearly unconstitutional or unable to be accomplished through executive order. To be honest, I'm really still digesting and looking to constitutional law experts myself to more deeply understand that. And there's a lot of learning and conversation that we have to have. But as you've seen in the flurry of litigation that the ACLU nationally had to launch this weekend, most of that litigation is resulting in temporary restraining orders and injunctions because of the illegality of some aspects of this order.
And do you have any legal challenges in the works, Susan?
Our office has not filed any challenges at this point.
Might that be a possibility?
Our participation in a challenge is certainly a possibility. We are truly just trying to field emergencies and communicate with folks as things are happening. We are not getting a lot of communication about what's happening at the airport, but, you know, we have tried speaking with CBP. We sent staff to the bridge and tunnel on Saturday to try to get information, and we're directed to Customs and Border Protection's public information officer. We've left messages and not gotten direct communication to relay to our network. And of course, you know, people arriving at the airport, we would only know about them if they had family or friends waiting. There are some attorneys who've been volunteers who've been stationing themselves at the airport. And, of course, you had the airport protest last night. You know, being available both to speak with any families who were there to pick up family members who are not who may be detained, and also warning travelers against departing the U.S. You know, the airlines do not want to bring people into the U.S. who they will then have to fly back if they're not admitted to the U.S. And so most of what we're seeing is that the airlines very quickly on Friday night and Saturday stopped allowing people to board from the affected seven countries. And so that could be one explanation for the relative quiet at the airport.
President Trump says this travel ban is going to make America safer. We know there are people who say, yep, we believe it is. This is why we voted for him. What do you say to them?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of statistical analysis of the actual impact of people from these seven countries and refugees. Of course, refugees from all countries have been banned entry for the next 120 days, and refugees from Syria indefinitely. I would direct anyone who, you know, is inclined to believe that to take a look at the Cato Institute's research. I am looking at their post from January 25th about the content of the expected order entitled Little National Security Benefit to Trump's Executive Order on Immigration. The Cato Institute is one of the most conservative think tanks in America, so I would really point people to that Cato Institute research, which points out that foreigners from the seven targeted nations have killed zero Americans in terrorist attacks on U.S. soil between 1975 and the end of 2015. There is a list that Senator Sessions released of 580 terror-related convictions since 9/11. It's an incomplete list. It is deeply flawed. First and foremost, 241 of the convictions were not actually for terrorism offenses. There's just any number of flaws in any analysis that this ban will have a meaningful impact on national security.
Susan Reed, the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center. Thanks for taking our questions today, Susan.
Thank you.